beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my sins unto my transgressions unto the Lord. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Amen. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the earth and the heaven, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the last verse from the gospel reading. Jesus, teaching the Jews, said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is our text. On April 18, 1521, Martin Luther stood before a representative of Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Worms. After a second day in a row, he was asked point blank if he would recant his writings. He refused. He refused and said, "I'm bound by the scriptures I've quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I will not retract anything. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. So help me God. Amen." Luther was deeply convinced, so am I, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. This is what the scriptures teach. From the beginning, this is what the church has believed. And so Luther does as well, and he says that he is bound and captive. Bound by scripture,
and captive to the word of God. 1,500 years before that, Jesus exhorted the Jews who believed in him to stick to his word. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What Jesus wanted for them, what he wants for us, his people, is clear. He wants us to know the truth and so to be free. Of course, when we hear those two words, truth and freedom, your mind, like mine, probably says there are a lot of different ideas that people have. Truth and freedom are disputed words, and people mean different things by them. Just what is truth? What is freedom? That word truth, in our day and age, it seems like it's used more often to describe someone's own personal ideas than it is anything else. My truth, people will say, as if truth is merely a subjective, internal thing. As if truth could be different for different people. You have your truth, and I have my truth. But that's not the way Jesus speaks. He speaks of the truth. The truth as an objective reality. Outside of you and me, but objective in God and the world that he made. So truth here doesn't depend on our thoughts or our feelings. Our thoughts and our feelings can either be in accord with the truth, or they can be at odds with the truth, but they cannot shape, reshape, or change the truth. And then there's that word freedom. We tend to think of freedom as being able to do whatever we want to do. That is, freedom is to be unconstrained and unlimited. Freedom would be to go to the swimming pool and have no rules posted and just do whatever you want. That's the way that we think. But is doing whatever we want actually freedom? What if we want the wrong things? And if everyone could actually do whatever they wanted, would that be maximum freedom? Wouldn't it be chaos, murder, and mayhem? So real freedom, in the way that Jesus describes, is a freedom that has and requires limits, boundaries, guidelines, you might say grooves in which to run. To be what we were made to be is freedom. To be something else is not. Now, Jesus makes clear here that truth and freedom aren't natural to us. And I think this is an important point for us to remember. We aren't born with the truth. We aren't born free. At least not in the way Jesus is speaking of it. He tells his disciples, in fact, that we are born captive and we are born not knowing the truth. But he also tells us where to find these things. In his word. We are to abide in his word. Truth and freedom come from dwelling with Jesus in his word. This is one of the reasons that the Reformation, and in our church as well, we continually go back to the word and encourage being in the word and speak of the importance of God's word. Now, the original disciples had the word of God there in the living mouth of Jesus. We have the living voice of Jesus today in the Holy Scriptures. Each word of the Bible, we believe, has been breathed out by God, the Holy Spirit, through the prophets and apostles, so that we can know the truth, and the truth can set us free. God's word does provide a deep clarity. And I think it's a clarity that the world needs so much, and a clarity that we often forget. God's word is clear about where everything came from. God's word is clear about who we are, both as sinners and as those for whom Christ shed his blood. God's word is clear about why we're here. And God's word is clear about where we're going. We can't fully know ourselves, and we cannot fully know the world that we live in apart from this revelation of God. Holy Scripture. We can't truly be free by ourselves. There's no freedom apart from Jesus. There's no freedom apart from Jesus. That's what Jesus says, and the Jews in his day weren't buying it. They couldn't quite make sense of it. They got hung up on the whole freedom thing because they were sure that they could have truth and they could have freedom apart from Jesus because they thought they already had it. You heard what they said. We're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? I always wonder what exactly they were thinking when they said, we've never been enslaved to anyone, since the primary narrative story of the Old Testament is the story of their enslavement and being set free. But we'll leave that to the side. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free? Do we feel the same way? Jesus, you're great and all that. But we're good with the truth, and we're already free. Do we think that we don't need what he's offering? Well, Jesus speaks more clearly. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Jesus says that sin doesn't proceed from truth and freedom. Truth and freedom, in reality, will never be part of sin, but rather sin enslaves, and all sin enslaves. I've heard it said this way. I've heard it said that we're all born as sin addicts, which I think can be a helpful way of thinking about things. We all have a natural addiction, not just to this substance or that thing, but we have a natural addiction to sin. We can't help ourselves. We keep going back to it. It's in our DNA. It's in our bloodstream. It's wired into our synapses. That sin addiction is so deep that often the first truth is that we deny it. And that's exactly what these Jews did. They're enslaved to sin, that's bad enough, and they're in denial about it as well. Who? Me? Why, I can stop any time. Sure you can. It's not that big a deal. I'm sure it's not. But that can't be sin. It feels right. It's who I am. Everyone's doing it. The world says it's fine. Well, then I guess you're just okay. But that's not what Jesus says. He says that everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. Now, we can think of that in a couple of ways. In one sense, practicing sin is kind of intentionally doing it over and over and over again. The way you shoot free throws to learn how to make a basket. But on the other hand, we could say that practicing sin is simply doing sin. The question before you and me today is this. Where does that sin addiction manifest in your life and in mine? What are the things that we keep going back to? Either things that we say, or things that we do, or things that we think. What is it that actually enslaves us? Because you know it already, and I know it as well. Our sin is not freedom. It is not helping us. It is not giving us the truth. It enslaves us. Where do we see that at work in our own lives? Where do we see that at work at this time in our world? Luther, of course, experienced that same sense of slavery to sin. This is what drove the Reformation, in fact, was his recognition about how deeply sin was ingrained in him. Luther tried to escape it. He tried to find freedom. He tried to get away from it. He tried all sorts of things. He tried going to the monastery and making his vows. He found a problem. When he got to the monastery, his sin came with him. He tried penance, doing all sorts of works to make up for his sin and to correct it and to strengthen himself, and yet it was never enough. He tried sleeping on the cold, hard floor of the monastery. He tried beating himself and whipping himself, and still sin wouldn't go away. He saw his own people enslaved. And he saw the lies that they were given, lies that they could buy freedom from sin. A coin in the coffer rings and a soul from purgatory springs, free of sin. Oh, he knew what the malady was. He knew his own problem, and it nearly drove him mad. It nearly drove him mad until he abided in the word of Jesus. And when he abided in the word, when he read the scriptures, when he heard what they said, he saw the truth. The law of God condemns, but now, St. Paul says, the righteousness of God has been revealed from heaven. The righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. You see, Luther came to know that truth, and that truth is what set him free. Set him free not only from the lies and false teachings of his day, but set him free from the bondage to sin. The slave can never free himself, not when the enslavement goes all the way down to the soul. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the glorious good news of the gospel. The gospel that Luther heard ringing through the scriptures, and the gospel that we believe the Reformation has had ringing down through the centuries still. If the Son sets you free. But why would he do that? And how in the world would the Son do that? Because he loves the truth, and he loves freedom, and he loves you. You see, love is what drove our Lord to say what he said and to do what he did. He is the Son. He is the one who remains in the house forever. He is the one who is perfectly and completely free, including free of sin. And he didn't have to do it. That's the amazing thing. You know, we find ourselves having to do things, to do this or to do that, but Jesus didn't have to do this. He chose to. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself. He used his freedom not to do whatever he wanted, but rather, as we hear him pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. He used his freedom to set aside his rights as a son and to take on the form of a servant, even a slave. He made himself nothing, so that he could make you something. He became a slave. Not a slave to sin, not a slave of sinners, but a slave to the judgment that we deserved. Jesus came not to do whatever we wanted him to do, and not to do whatever he wanted, but to do and receive what we deserve. He became that propitiation, that thing that absorbed the wrath of God against sin for us. And this is what he wanted. He wanted you. He wanted you to know the truth. He wanted you to be free. He wanted you with your sin so that he could have you without your sin, free forever. And that's why Jesus did what he did. And that's why the scriptures teach what they teach. And that's why Luther took the stand that he took, because he knew the truth, and he loved the freedom, and he wanted you to know it as well. Of course, Jesus laying down his life on the cross was not the end of the story. We know how it ends. God has highly exalted him, raised him from the dead, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your tongue has confessed it today. You have already said, Jesus Christ is Lord. And we will bend our knee in a moment as well before our Lord to receive not his punishment, not his law, but his freedom, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This is the truth. This is the freedom that we have, the freedom of former slaves, the freedom of those redeemed by the Son, the freedom of those who have the Holy Spirit's help in saying no to sin and renouncing not God's word, but the addiction we were born with. The freedom of people who are so closely bound to Christ Jesus that our sin became his and his righteousness became ours. Today we gather here as those who know the truth and are free, and yet at the same time as those who are bound and captive. We are bound by Scripture. We are captive to the Word of God, for we know that there we have true freedom, and we have the truth that sets us free. The final thing to consider today, then, is this. If we are set free from sin, what are we set free for? Remember how Jesus used his freedom, not in order to serve himself, but to serve us. You also, dear Christian, you have been set free, not in order to go back to serving yourself, but so that you can freely serve your neighbor in love. Pick up your head as Christ raises you from your sins and look around at those who have needs next to you and beside you and in front of you and behind you. Live in the freedom that he gives, in the truth that he is, in the promises that are yours in Christ Jesus. For because the Son has set you free, you are and will be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thanksgiving sacrifice, and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name would be hallowed by us and by all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Kim, asking for physical, mental, and emotional care. Helen, that her rehab would provide recovery. Patrick, Carl, and Karen, that you would protect and heal him. Karen, Frank, and Jim, for peace in the midst of their ill health. We also commend to you Amara and Alyssa, Marilyn, Jared, Donna, Ed, John, Kay, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Preserve our nation. Give us wisdom in electing our leaders, and grant them integrity and faithfulness in carrying out their duties. Keep safe all who travel, especially our sister Anne, and Doug and Kelly and their family. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their children, including Casey, Stephanie, and Annie. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. Be the fortress and refuge for all who have lost loved ones or suffered injury through natural disasters. And bless those who bring them help and aid. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and we may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve, especially to Evelyn and Diane. Deliver us, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever, Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith. And above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Our psalm today is Psalm 46, starting at the first verse. To the choir master and the sons of Korah, according to the Alameth, a psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength and very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear till the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, till the mountains tremble with the swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of our Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of our hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations to the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart. Amen.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. To you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.